Wintersmith by Terry Pratchett, read by Tony Robinson. When the storm came, it hit the hills like a hammer. No sky should hold as much snow as this, and because no sky could, it fell like a wall of white. And on an ancient mound, part of the snow moved. A very small, very angry blue face, with a lump of snow still balanced on top of it, looked out at the white wilderness.
"Ah, Grivens, will you look at this? 'Tis the work of the wintersmith. Now there's a scunner that will ne take no for an answer."
More heads peered out.
"Oh, Willie, Willie," said one. "He's found the big wee hag again."
Rob Anybody, leader of the Pictsy clan of the Knack-Mack Feagles, sighed.
"I fear you're right, Daft Wally. He's come for her right enough. Who's watching doon at the farm? Wee dangerous spike, Rab."
Rob looked up at clouds so full of snow they sagged in the middle.
"Okay, it's time for the hero."
He slid back down into the heart of the Feagle Mound. All around the inside were galleries packed with blue and red Knack-Mack Feagles.
"All right, you ken what's happening. This is nae common storm. The wintersmith has found the big wee hag, and we canny fight him for her. But the hag o' hags has set us on another path, a dark one and dangerous."
A cheer went up. Rob waited until the shouting and sword rattling had died down.
"Right! I'm awa' to fetch the hero."
There was laughter, and Big Yan, the tallest Feagle, shouted,
"He's nae mair than a big streak o' nothing. But he'll be a hero, and that's the end of it. Now off ye go, dig me a path to the underworld."
It had to be the wintersmith, Tiffany Aching told herself, standing in the freezing farmhouse. This wasn't normal weather for springtime. "So he's found me again, and the lambs are dying under this dreadful snow. My father's face is grey with worry, and he's begging me. I'm only 13, and my father's taking off his hat to speak to me. I can't let them see I'm afraid. Witches aren't allowed to be. And it's all my fault. I started this. I brought this on us."
"If you could, magic it away, girl, for us."
"All right, I'll see what I can do. Make a big fire by the sheds, and I mean big, understand? And you must keep it going. Whatever happens, keep piling on the fuel. The fire must not go out."
She put on the heavy brown woollen cloak Miss Treason had made for her and grabbed her black pointy hat from the back of the door. There was a sort of communal grunt from the people who'd crowded into the kitchen, and some of them backed away. She stepped out into the narrow corridor that had been cut through the snow-filled farmyard. The drifts were more than twice the height of a man, but a track had been cleared to the paddock. They'd been digging for hours. The important thing was to look calm and confident, to keep your mind clear and not show how pants-wettingly scared you were. She held out a hand and caught a snowflake. It was one of his special snowflakes, and that was nasty. He was taunting her. And he was killing the lambs, too, so now she could hate him. She'd never hated him before. She shivered and pulled the cloak around her.
"This I choose to do," she croaked, her breath leaving little clouds in the air. She cleared her throat and started again. "If there is a price, this I choose to pay. If it is my death, then I choose to die."
It wasn't a spell, except in her own head. But if you couldn't make spells work in your own head, you couldn't make them work at all. She watched dully as the men brought straw and wood. The fire started slowly, as if frightened to show enthusiasm, but then it began to roar up.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?